Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You damn Skippy that we start now. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. As the man said, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Attula, hanging out with you all the way till 2 right here on a Thursday with a bareheaded John Lopez.
Yes, I missed my helmet.
Yeah, I know.
I miss it too already. I really do. I was buckling up.
The old school helmet was fantastic. I got a lot of love.
I mentioned it quite a bit is that everybody that walked past the glass of this studio did so with one or two things, just a look of bemusement or just the biggest bleep-eating grin.
Yeah. The funny thing is, of the two helmets, the one that looked less like you lost a bet was the old school leather one.
Yeah, yeah.
If I were just up here walking around in the hallways, like in the station, like
he's
I was visiting
it.
The station, that's what I would have thought, John. I would have said, man, that guy.
Boy, is that guy into it.
He is into it. Whereas the conventional modern helmet has the face mask, like, okay, clearly he lost a bet. It's hindering his ability to actually do a good show.
Yeah. Bless his heart, a lot of people said.
But you made it. You did it. You paid it. Your bets, and now we might just be wearing those old school helmets more often than not just to do so. So glad that that's the case. And you guys were really excited about it. You can always show your excitement or get involved with any of the conversations that we're having. Hop on YouTube or Twitch. Those are available to you. YouTube is Sports Radio 610. Twitch.tv/610Houston are the ways you do that. And then also, always text in to the program, 713-572-4610. All right, Lopez, we can start this out a couple of different ways, right?
Okay, I'm listening.
You want to go with a little bit of Texans negativity, or would you like to hear from CJ Stroud?
Oh, wow. Well, those are both good options.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? We haven't had a lot of negativity. Let's see if we can buy into a little bit of that, and then we'll end with CJ Stroud.
All right. I like the way that you're thinking here. And I like the way typically that Bill Barnwell, ESPN, thinks. Mm-hmm. I think that he does a good job talking about football in a way that is, you know, kind of elevated in some ways. You know, a lot of people talking about football, so I like to find those folks that are, you know, talking to it from a elevated level, especially with some of the statistics and stuff that he brings to the fore. And, you know, this time of year, everybody's making their playoff predictions, or just like NFL predictions in general. Some people are going for what the end of year awards are going to be, or what have you, who's going to be in the playoffs. And one of the things that we all know is that there's a certain amount of teams every year that were in the playoffs that are not going to be in the playoffs. Right. And so that in that spirit, Bill Barnwell yesterday of ESPN put out his 2024 NFL playoff field predictions, talks about 20 teams that could make it. And some of the teams that, you know, maybe in or out.
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned that it's Texas negativity, and we know that the Texans made the playoffs, so you know where I'm going here, right?
Yeah.
Bill Barnwell has the Texans as being out when it comes to the playoffs.
That dirty dog.
And so with that being the case, like, he kind of talks about something that I don't know how much we've really leaned into the idea of the youth of this team. But I mean, clearly the youth of this team is one of the things that has gotten people excited. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the young quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who we'll hear from a little bit later. Right.
Yeah.
You have Tank Dell and Nico Collins, two very talented young wide receivers that look like they're going to be staples mm-hmm. of this team for a very long time. Right. You talk about the outside cornerbacks on the defense. Now both sides, when you have Derek Stingley, who is young, upcoming, finding his way near his prime.
Yeah.
And then Kamari Lassiter, who's coming in and immediately has grabbed a decent hold of what's happening here. All this thing comes around, and he talks about this, you know, where you have all these guys. Will Anderson, yeah. I keep forgetting to mention him, but he practiced yesterday. Looks like he's going to be ready to go for week one. That's a fantastic thing
yeah.
because of his ability to rush the passer, but also blow up run stuff. But he says around the core, he's not that enthused. He said, unlike the Lions or the Packers, who were, you know, two of the youngest teams in football a year ago, as they broke into the postseason, the Texans were the fourth oldest team in the league, especially when you talk about snap weighted age on the team. And so the young core members aren't the issue in his mind. But he says Caserio chose to rebuild this team by investing heavily in veterans on short term deals who could do a professional job at their respective positions, which that definitely helped turn this thing around quickly. Yeah. It's one of the reasons why we saw it happen. But he posits that that might cap the ceiling on these Texans, given the relative lack of upside on those veterans.
I'm processing.
Okay.
I'm processing because I don't understand. Bill Barnwell, obviously, as you just said, very respected.
Yeah.
Deep dive, gets into, you know, the nitty gritty of it all. So it's not like I don't respect his angle. I just don't accept it.
Okay.
And let me tell you why. Because, like, last year, he's right. They brought in some veterans that really just wanted to sign. Okay, let's see what we can do. Let's put some veterans here around these young guys. Let's see if the young guys are any good. Let's get these veterans to help them along. We know the story. You know, they had a bunch of veterans in some key spots that helped them. And veterans that took on new roles like Blake Cashman and such. But the veterans they brought in or a little longer term. Some of those contracts are more than 1 year. And not only that, they play at a higher level.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's Aziz Al-Shaair or Danico Autry, they are better than the veterans that were here last year. Flat out. Stephon Diggs, he's a one-year deal, but that's a good thing. We talked about it yesterday because I think there's no real downside for that. And no matter what anybody says about, okay, last end of the season, blah, 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 He's had six straight seasons of 1,000-plus yards.
Yes.
And that's not going anywhere overnight. And he said as much in the GQ article. I didn't freaking forget how to play football.
Right. He did not say freaking.
So that's where being – a lot of times being close to a team can be a detriment because you kind of get that – you get caught up in the moment in
sure.
that team and you're out of practice every day. So you kind of – don't really recognize what's happening outside with other teams. But a lot of times it's a good thing. A lot of times, you know, because you're so close, you see the difference between now and then. And I think now is just flat out better.
Yeah. And I think also, if you were trying to make that claim of when you talk about like the age of this team over a 3 year period,
mm-hmm.
5 year period, maybe you start, okay, because like some of the vital pieces of what this team is doing at this moment, you're still going to have to address some of those places, right? You're still going to have to address the center of your defensive line, right? You have mm-hmm. Fatu Kasi, you have Danico Autry, and those guys aren't going to be here for five seasons, aren't going
right.
to be here for that, you know, mid to longer tier term
mm-hmm.
that you're talking about. But if you're talking about this year,
mm-hmm.
those guys are all still either in or back into their prime, and I think maybe that's the question that you have is like, all right, what kind of production are you getting at the back end of maybe Danico Autry's prime, or maybe if you wanted like Daniil Hunter, right? Mm-hmm. Guys like that. Maybe.
But I didn't even mention him. Yeah.
As you mentioned, high level player,
mm-hmm.
right? And again, in a 1 year type situation, I think that this is in that place. But as you move forward
mm-hmm.
with what, you know, Bill Barnwell has to say about these Texans.
Yeah.
He also starts talking about the fact that they were probably good, not great last year, which I think we would all agree with.
Yeah.
But you go back to those same veterans, like there's been an elevation there.
Mm-hmm.
And then speaking of, he comes ultimately all the way back around to the idea that, hey, the AFC South might only get one team in. And I could see that, right? But if that's the case, is this then going to come down to the strength of schedule? And I think that's a fair criticism to lobby when we've talked about the strength of the schedule. It's a rough one, and especially the way that it's laid out.
Yeah,
the back it's middle, but almost back loaded in some ways when it comes to the stretches
and the
strength of the schedule. And so, if you want to bring that out, okay, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was kind of interesting that he would go so far as to, and he's not. He said he's not counting them out, and I understand how that goes, right? Mm-hmm. But as to go as so far as to go. I think Jacksonville actually takes this division and the Texans end up out on the street. That feels like a bridge too far for me.
Well, based on what with Jacksonville? Because the quarterback is obviously he's thrown for some yards, but he hasn't won a lot of games and he hasn't been consistent the way that C.J. Stroud has been. So that's a check mark to the Texans. And then if you want to look at veterans, I mean, you can go position by position. And outside of maybe the interior defensive front, I'm not so sure that the Texans check every box everywhere, you know, including on offense and defense.
Yeah. So, look, I found that to be interesting. I appreciate the level of, you know, kind of, mm-hmm. I don't know, skepticism. I think a level of healthy skepticism is always necessary no matter what you're looking at. I don't think that all of that holds up too much to the rigor that I think you would ultimately want to put it in. But, like, there's some things that I think are worth keeping in mind within that course.
Oh, no, we'll the schedule for sure. I've given everybody that. I've said it myself. You've said it. The schedule is tough. The quarterbacks they face are elite, you know, by and large. I totally grant that. I just feel like the quarterback that they have here is elite, and that sort of evens the field, at least at that position.
Yeah, and he's becoming more and more elite as he finds more of his footing. C.J. Stroud spoke yesterday. Was that after or before practice?
I think it was after practice. Yeah, yeah.
And let's start with just this. He's finding his way into being a quarterback in the NFL in obviously the great ways and in some of the most, you know, mundane ways, I guess, in some ways. And one of that was his very first answer gave you...
Seven? I counted seven.
Seven cliches that you understand and you expect from the quarterback speak that you get from players?
It means a lot. You know, it's a divisional game against a great opponent. Mm-hmm. You know, they're very, very well coached. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of guys who fly around in all three phases, you know. So it'd be a great first challenge for us. And, you know, we're very excited to, you know, go up to Indy and play the Colts.
There's seven. There's seven right there.
Kind of broke the damn bell over here, man.
our guy is he's learning the game. He learns how it plays. I will say this. So when I heard that, and shout out to Tyler Milner. Sorry about your loss yesterday. But
you said that like he's somebody passed.
I'm about to say who died.
Right. Oh my God.
His lock bet died. When I heard that, I'm like, oh, Lord, this is not going to be good. This is not going to be good at all. He's in his regular season. Nick Caserio got to him, cliche bell mode. But then he kind of loosened up. And I thought he gave us some real good stuff about the difference between last year and this year.
Yeah. One of the things that I really appreciated from CJ, and this is Cut 12 Fig, was him asking, like, or he was asked, rather, what do you hope to accomplish this season? Which obviously means it could go a lot of places with a dude who's entering his second season, a dude who, you know, people are looking for the possibility of a sophomore slump, those types of things. And so this was his answer when it came to what do you hope to accomplish this season?
I would say, like, for me, I would say I wanted to start faster. You know, it doesn't have to do with, like, a certain game, just, like, in general, like, the season. You know, last year we started off really slow. And just kind of had to, like, build our way back. And, like, it's not an easy thing to do. So I would say this year is, like, we want to start fast. We want to gain confidence early. I think we put in the work for training camp. And now, you know, it's just it's up to us to go out there and do it this Sunday and, you know, put our best foot forward. But, you know, really just that was my big thing is just starting fast.
So
a little cliche, but I think it's poignant.
I'm glad you brought that up based on because it's going to tie in directly with the other ones that really jumped out at me. But the reason I'm glad you brought that up is they might lose against the Colts on Sunday. I mean, the Colts, we know that they've been preparing. We know Anthony Richardson's kind of wild card. We know Anthony Richardson torched them last year in week two. We get all that. They might lose, but he is not. And the offense is not going to look like it did early in the season last year. It's going to be so much more advanced and comfortable. And so I think they're going to start well, no matter what. They might not win the game, But I think they're going to start very, very well and very strong because of Stroud.
Yeah, and I think that they, pursuant to what we were talking about just a little earlier, the idea of the strength of this schedule, right?
Yep.
You're not going to want to find yourself in holes that you're having to dig yourself out of, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to become a little bit more difficult for you to do.
Yeah.
And then just in general, right? Nobody wants to be playing from behind, right? In general, you want to play from a position of strength. So the idea that that's, first of all, he did not go to an individual, and you did not expect that from CJ. Yeah. CJ is very team focused and team oriented. But the idea that he goes to that larger scale perspective that, you know, you want to get out, you want to make sure that you get out fast and you want to, you know, play from ahead, especially because playing in some of these teams, that's going to be absolutely necessary to be able to find some level of success, because some of these teams, if you let them get a step on you, they are closing the door and you will not find any more space.
And you can't play catch up, particularly with this schedule.
No, exactly.
I like the first six games. I think I've said it multiple times. I think they're going to go 5-1 to start the year. If they go, you know, 2-3 to 2-4, then they're playing catch up against some really, really good players. And that's where it gets really, really dicey. So I know they're going to play better. I know they're going to play better early. And if they can get that first six games, if they can get going on early, then they'll be fine.
Yeah. And speaking of early, not in games, but in the season itself, offensive line is something that we're watching, you know, very intently. And CJ was asked, how do you help the offensive line in difficult game situations?
Yeah, I kind of go back to, you know, a coach I had in college, Todd Fitch, who's at LSU now. And he always told me, like, you're hard to stop when you have good eyes and good feet. And another thing that I run with now and it's stuck in my mind is, you know, how can the most important thing as a quarterback is making the guys around you better. And so if our O-line have a really tough matchup on the edges, you know, and they're going to widen those guys, it's my job to step up. It's my job to make those guys right, to make them better, you know what I mean? So I take that very seriously, drills and watching tape and watching guys around the league do it, you know, from back in the past to now, on just like film of how pockets move, how guys tee and twist and try to get you off your mark. And but all that, you got to be able to look and read the defense at the same time, which isn't easy to do. But, you know, it's a lot to do with instincts and my God-given talent, but also, you know, just a lot of hard work with Gerard and Bobby and Bill Lazor, Leander, Shane Day last year. Just a lot of groundwork that we put in.
That's the one I love, because he does that.
Yeah.
Not only does he do it, we've seen him do it from, you know, maybe week 4, week 5 last year and get better at it. Like he is excellent at helping his offensive line, and I think the offensive line number one is going to be better. We'll see, but I think it's going to be better, and he's already polished on that, and he's tried to work on it to get even better.
Yeah,
I love that.
It's definitely one of the positions or the places of progress in his game, and it's going to be very vital in week one against a very good, at least interior of the defensive line when it comes to the Colts, but then also the edges on the for the Colts over the last couple of drafts have gotten better. When you talk about obviously Latu this season, but Kwity Paye, we can't forget about him on the other edge, on the outside. Those guys are going to be making it tough on the offensive line, and if you have a quarterback that, you know, handles the subtle movements that a quarterback can do in order to help his offensive line, right, those are going to be necessary to make this easier in week one for an offensive line that's still trying to gel in some ways, that did not get many reps, if at all, as I remember correctly, from this preseason all the way together. Like, yeah, I think that that's going to be super important with all of this. Let me slide this one more in here, because he was asked his thoughts on the quality of the Texans offense as it's structured right now, all the additions, all of that. What's the quality there?
Yeah, I think strategically, I think Nick did a great job of, you know, building us from top to bottom, really bottom to top, you know, looking both ways. He's done a good job of filling in the spots we felt like we needed, and then, you know, bringing in guys who we thought that we felt fit our style to play. And, you know, I think D'Amico and Nick and really just our front office done a great job of, you know, bringing guys together, not only would fit the X's and O's, would fit each other personality-wise. You know, I think y'all in the locker room with us at times, you know, we see how close we are. We're always playing, we're always smiling, always having fun, and we're all really competitive. And, you know, everybody wants to eat, which I think is a great thing. So, you know, I think it starts with our front office and what they've done. And, you know, we're just excited to have, you know, a close-knit team.
Yeah, that's another one where I was like, okay, I see what he's saying here. And basically what he's saying without throwing anyone under the bus is we've upgraded everywhere that I needed upgrades. You know, that everywhere that complements with an E, you know, his game, they have upgraded. And we know all the names. We've seen them, you know, from Joe Mixon to Stephon Diggs, et cetera. But he's basically saying, oh, yeah, like we were, you know, I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus from last year, but we are a lot better in the things that can help me excel.
Yeah. And so, look, all of that makes me more excited about what's happening. That. Yeah, I was like, which pieces? All of it.
All of it.
All of it. Yeah. Makes me super excited. Shout out to the 281 who said they actually got 8 cliches on that first CJ.
Oh, they found 8? Okay, I'll take that.
We'll revisit it a little bit in the break. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for adding those extra bells, Fig. As you're listening to In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Super excited for, one, week one against Indy, but two, football just to start in general. Not excited for what was Spencer Arrighetti's horrible, terrible, no good, very bad outing. Let's talk about what happened with the Astros yesterday in Cincinnati.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yes, sir. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Atitula. Complete with a frog in my throat, apparently.
I'm trying to cover for you best I can.
I think that's everybody, man. I'm the same way, man.
Pull the curtain back. I'm being a good teammate. I'm trying my best. Every time he turns off his mic, I go, sure.
Like, honestly, I'm very much a pull the curtain back. I just don't want to cough or, like, whatever, and clear my throat in y'all's ears. Yeah. That'd be very weird. But, yeah, apparently also the internet up here having a little bit of a frog in its throat.
Mm-hmm.
So I was saying
everybody under the weather.
Yeah, that was like the YouTube and the Twitch. Yeah, it's been up and down. So it's up now, though.
Good.
It's up now. But I can't guarantee that it won't be down a little later. So hang out with us on those various platforms: YouTube, Sports Radio 610, twitch.tv/610Houston. Those are available, but you can always get us on the Odyssey app. That one doesn't crash nearly as much. And then you can always get involved with the program by texting in to the text line, 713-572-4610. Top straw, fat pad, all that, good vibes. Not great vibes, though, when it comes to what happened yesterday, including this that knocked Spencer Arrighetti out of the game.
Big chop to first, over the head of DeZenzo, into right field. Two more runs are going to score. It's a 7-run first inning for the Reds. And that's going to be the end of the day for the American League Rookie of the Month in August. The Reds absolutely flipped the script tonight. Even that ball was chopped, and DeZenzo couldn't quite make the play.
I mean, when it rains, it pours.
Talk about it, because it wasn't even 7-0 at the end of the first, right? It got to 9. And all 9 of those were earned runs that were charged to Spencer Arrighetti. You heard he didn't make it out of the first 2/3 of an inning.
Man, that was a throwback Arrighetti start, man.
That was Arrighetti and meatballs.
That was Arrighetti back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, just, it was just painful to watch. And you guys mentioned it, right? Like, this is something that, one, we hadn't seen from him in a little while, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, he had his AL Rookie of the Month, outing when it came to August. August was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
With all the strikeouts. In fact, our guy, T-Mill, Tyler Milner of The Drive, he made it his Stone Cold Lock of the
Week. Stone Cold
maybe
Lock.
Maybe in a month. Yeah, that's going to go around quite a bit. The idea that, hey, man, Arrighetti's going to get out here and throw 5.5+ strikeouts in this game. You know how many he got in this game, Lopez?
How many did he get?
He got not a single one.
Oh, okay.
It was kind of one of those things where as you're watching it, you're wondering, and I think on the broadcast on Sports City Home Network, they asked it explicitly. Is he tipping pitches? Because, like, the Reds were seeing the ball out of his hand very well, or maybe they were just, and it wasn't just the fastball. It was the four-seam fastball a decent amount, I will say, right? The four-seamer out of his hand, it seemed like they were getting on top of that a decent amount. But in the zone, he wasn't locating it well as well. Before I even moved to the idea in the zone, out the zone, he wasn't locating it all that well. Like, I think a few of the times as he started, walking some folks, it was just some bad pitches that got away from him. And so it felt like maybe the command went away from him a little bit. But also they were seeing the ball out of his hand pretty well.
It had all the markings of a guy that was tipping his pitches. Espada alluded to it in no uncertain terms. I mean, he was very, very adamant. Well, they really knew what was coming, didn't they?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So I'm not going to say it wasn't tipping his pitches, but I think they were just. I think they were just.
Well, let's get Arrigetti cut four here because he was asked explicitly. Do you think maybe you were tipping your pitches?
I mean, I'll check, but I'm really doubtful. I don't ever chalk it up to that. It's. I would rather just take accountability for it as is. I mean, if I was giving away information, that's on me as well. So if there is something, then I'll find out. And I've done it twice already this year. So if there is, I'll figure it out. But I don't think so.
He might have gotten into a bad habit that people picked up on. But I'm, you know, kudos to him for not making excuses. And I just don't. I mean, they were taking some shots, good swings off of him. So it had the markings of it, but the dude has been nails and he's been doing the same. He's not going to change, you know, his approach or his windup or anything. But maybe he did. I don't think so though.
Yeah, I don't know if it was tipping pitches. I honestly lean towards just he couldn't get his fastball into the right places. Like, all right, so the Jonathan Indian home run that started this out. Now this I know that, you know, obviously radio, not a visual medium, but John, you can kind of help me out here, right? The four-seam fastball that's happening right here, I think that baseball players will call that belt high if you're trying to be clean, and they call it a male appendage high if they were not trying to be clean, right?
That is what people in my old neighborhood used to call a papa.
Yeah, man.
A big potato.
Ellie De La Cruz, four-seam fastball that got hit.
More papa.
Right? I mean, like, you can go through a lot of these
look at that right down the middle.
Four-seam fastball, right? Like, he just couldn't get the fastball where he wanted him. Couldn't locate him nearly at all, right? I don't know if that's tipping pitches, but so I am kind of encouraged in, well, I don't know if that's encouraging necessarily, but it felt like just it was a bad day at the office, right? Correctable. Definitely correctable, especially just because I wonder if it was just you game out, you didn't have a great day, you didn't have your stuff going, and it felt like it got worse because of something else that wasn't Arrigetti's fault, which was, can you give me cut three, the play-by-play cut three here, Fig, because it was started bad. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong, right? Mm-hmm. He's putting meatballs in the middle, and of course the Cincinnati Reds can take advantage of that offensively, and they did take advantage of that. But this probably should have been a 3-run first inning where he gets, you know, 32 pitches. It's, you know, a heavy workload, but, you know, one where he probably
get back
has an
to the
opportunity
dugout, to get, talk to the pitching coach, try to figure it out.
Yes.
What are you doing on your windup, etc.?
Now, this is the thing that is problematic more so for me than Spencer Arrigetti himself was what happened here.
France on third, Fraley on second, Espinal on first, and an 0-2 count to Ahmed Rosario. Hit sharply, but past Jeremy Pena into center field. Two runs are going to score. Chaz McCormick comes in and will underhand it back to Pena. That was sharply hit, but a ball that Jeremy would like to have another shot at.
Yeah. And the idea that that was hit past him might be a little bit kind. Like, he had a very, very good opportunity to play that. In fact, I think later in the broadcast, they were mentioning how if that's a home game, or, you know, if that's not a home game for Cincinnati, right, if that's in Houston, that probably gets marked as an error.
For sure it would be an error.
As opposed to a hit.
And we talked about this yesterday, like just yesterday. You know, I brought up the question, are we kind of looking in the wrong place for what might be the red flag, you know, as you get into some postseason games and every at-bat is magnified, et cetera. We've been talking about, well, we need to get these guys healthy. We need to get these guys hitting the ball better. No, man, I think the defense has been an issue. And Espada, this was the only thing that I went like, come on, man. Espada was talking about the defense after the game and said he wasn't worried.
No, not at all. You know, the last four or five games against Casey, we play excellent defense, and we, you know, you guys didn't ask me about that, so I'm not very concerned about that. You know, if we just want to talk about every time we make an error about our defense, that's not fair, I think.
Okay, it is fair, first of all, and he getting a little salty there, as T-Mail put in the doc when he was...
Wait, like, y'all didn't ask me when we were doing our job?
So, like, when Jeremy Pena gets a ball like that cleanly and throws it to first, we're supposed to say, hey, can you tell us about the you know, the regular decent play that he made that is expected of any major league shortstop? Can you talk about that? Is that what we're supposed to do? That one did bother me a little bit.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, because he's like, you didn't ask me about all the good plays. Well, that's a major league shortstop play, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that...
At least if you're going to be a above average shortstop, that's the thing that's terrifying.
Yeah.
26-year-old Jeremy Pena, athletic still, right, in his prime. In fact, probably early before his prime, if we're going to be completely honest in the way that this should go.
Yeah.
He's a negative four outs above average, thank right? you. When we talk defensively, a statistic that kind of gives you an idea on how a fielder plays. Negative four this season compared to two last season and a seven in 2022.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's just, it is a full swing away from being an above average, maybe even a really good
mm-hmm.
defensive shortstop to just being well below average. And that's so unexpected, and it's so inconvenient for being a high level team.
And that's about as irritated as you'll ever hear Joe Espada, which tells me he is worried. He said, "I'm not worried." No, your whole approach there. We're going to talk about regular shortstop plays. It means he is a little bit irritated and worried. But the other thing he said, "Well, we've been playing pretty good defense recently," and I'm paraphrasing, but that's kind of what he said. No, they haven't. Like they haven't. They've got seven errors in their last nine games, 10 errors in their last 13 games. And more importantly, it's not just about the errors that you've been credited or given, like what the official scorer says. They rank 21st for the season. That's bottom third, but anyway, yeah. Any way you cut it,
right?
In defensive runs saved. In other words, they're not making good plays.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not all about errors. It's about, do you play good defense? The answer right now is no.
And you see, I mean, yesterday was a tangible example of the physical, like the actual effects of that, which
yes.
is Arrigetti gets bounced out of that game way early. And of course, he wasn't in a great place. But if you pick him up, like we said, maybe he can regroup and find a way
mm-hmm.
to give you three innings, right? Yeah. Four innings. He gave you two thirds of an inning, and then it became a bullpen game. And now tonight,
yeah,
the starter has to go make sure that he gives you innings because you could not get a little bit, help your guy out, get him out of a situation where he was struggling. And so, yeah, I think all the way around, horrible, terrible, no good, very bad outing
love
for the Astros.
Saying. I love that.
And saying. They're going to try and, you know, salvage a series as they haven't beat the Reds in God knows how long and
yeah.
forever. And so they need to make that happen tonight. I believe it's Hunter Brown on the mound for them, and hopefully he can get the mojo back going good, and more importantly, hopefully he can give them some depth, you know, go really long in this outing so that you can give your, you know, give your bullpen a little opportunity to get a breather.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Get back to positive ways so that we don't have to do that again. We're not yeah. mad, we're just disappointed. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. What's your sports pet peeve? 713-572-4610. Send us your sports pet peeves. We'll talk about ours next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yes, sir. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Question of the daytime, baby. What's your sports pet peeve? Text them in, 713-572-4610. Y'all are already doing that, and I appreciate that greatly. Some of you, I'm not completely understanding what you're saying, so you might need to send a follow-up text. an important text that came in three times. I don't know if it was your fault, 832, but Astros play at 12 noon. 12:10 first pitch in Cincinnati, a little getaway game for them today. And so we have to do the according thing and making sure our TV is set to that place so we can watch Hunter Brown go to work mm-hmm. against Rhett Lauder in this game as they try and salvage this series after losing the first two and hopefully just beat the Reds.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Just get a win.
A dub would be nice.
Just a win against the Reds would be yeah. very, very nice. But yeah, sports pet peeves for you, as you guys are already letting us know. Is there one that immediately came to mind for you? Because it seemed like
God.
You immediately had one that you wanted to get off your chest.
Because I definitely want to get it off my chest.
Okay,
don't be this friend, or are you a friend? And let me explain. So it happened this weekend, and I saw somebody post on Instagram
because your team lost,
is something similar
because your team lost,
and I'm like, this is it. All
your
right.
team, the Aggies, they lost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard you the first
okay,
time.
I just want to make sure.
I heard you the first time. So when you know, like, all right, you know, I'm an Aggies fan. You know, I'm,
and they lost.
And yes, I heard you the first time. They did lose. And so, like, if it were my birthday, which I don't make a big deal of my birthday, I'm just using this for an illustration.
Sure.
Like, of all the friends I have, all the people in my phone, that's not an humble brag. I'm just saying, you know, we all have a lot of friends. I get like three or four texts from friends. You know, family always texts you, but like from friends. Hey, man.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
That's right.
You know, Dante always texts me. I love that guy. He never forgets. You know, guys like that. Happy birthday. Want you to have a great day. Go do something fun. Three or four. When the Aggies lose, all these air quote friends say, hey, man.
what happened to the Aggies?
That's how they showed they love you.
Or, ha ha, I thought you said blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. I thought Connor Wegman was good.
Yep.
I thought this. I thought that. I get 78 texts from, air quote, friends when the Aggies lose.
Wow.
Here's the other part of that. Part two.
Uh-huh.
Let's say the Aggies win a huge game. You know, like let's say they had beaten Notre Dame. Crickets.
That's right.
Crickets.
Again, like you mentioned with Joe Espada, nobody's going to come and talk to you about things you're supposed to do.
Crickets. That is a big pet peeve of mine.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. That's but you
Are they really friends?
Sure. Sure. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to get on your case.
How about you?
The one that comes to mind is actually like on field sports thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we all know what's happening here is when, you know, a defensive back is in coverage. And I don't know if the quarterback sails it or the wide receiver just drops the pass. And the DB didn't have much to do with it.
Yeah.
But they pop and up and, yeah! Incomplete!
That's a good one.
Yeah. Incomplete! Like,
it bounces off the dude's hands. Like, he gets both hands on the ball and drops it, and the DB comes up. Incomplete.
Look.
Incomplete.
We're not going to pretend like y'all was you did something to make that happen.
That's a good one.
I'm not saying that you have to go and put your head down and skulk back to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, hey, man, what are you doing right now? And I understand, like, defensive backs, like, especially cornerbacks, you have to be built different to, like, go and take that kind of abuse that it is.
Not that different.
It's a position of failure, man.
I mean, it's obvious.
It's a position of failure. You got to be able to have the cockiness and, the kind of that feeling in you to be able to make that happen. But, oh, my God.
Yeah.
You know damn well you didn't affect
that. That happens every week.
Yeah.
Every week. How about you, Figgy?
Yeah, so the one that my pet peeve is the bandwagon fans. And this is what I mean by bandwagon fans. So I was on Twitter and I ran across a profile. In his bio description says Gators, Tar Heels, Pistons, Colts.
Oh, God.
Manchester United.
Glory, glory.
And his location is in Arizona to the DMV. Like, dog,
everywhere.
Where are you? You just representing the United States at this point, man.
A citizen of the earth.
Like, dog, why you got all these damn teams, random ass teams?
That is a
man.
Good one, too. That
one just drive me nuts. I know, the teams he put in here ain't all that, mm-hmm. but the ones that really drive me nuts are the Lakers fan, somebody that's a fan of the Lakers, the Yankees, the Cowboys. And then Manchester United or something like that, something completely random. They're just like, man, what are y'all doing, man?
I get it. I get where you're at. I let people have their stuff because there's a decent amount of those folks that kind of have some reason, mm-hmm. like different ties or what have you. But yeah, it is kind of funny. There's always I need to hear the story, though. Mm-hmm. I do need to hear the story because how did that come about? Some other sports pet peeves that are coming in on the Twitch chat. Sports pet peeve is that baseball card collecting is not for the kids anymore. Yeah, some of these folks are like, it's all speculative, yeah. almost like people mm-hmm. are doing stocks.
Yeah.
And this used to be, you know, like a fun hobby for people, particularly yeah. for kids. And now it's just like, it's a money-making endeavor. It makes us feel dirty.
That's kind of how I feel about the shoe game.
Yeah.
How people just, they don't just get the shoes because it look fly.
Mm-hmm.
They get them as like a chess piece
yeah.
where they could just hold on to it. They buy them up and then they try to sell them for thousands of dollars. It's like, man, like, dog, you wasn't even around when these Penny Hardaways came out originally. And now you buying them up. Like, this was before your time, man.
I mean, get some to appreciate them. And I can even understand, like, having some to maybe one pair to sell. It's the folks that are really mess up the game because they're wholesaling.
They
off
buying
of
them up. Buy them up to resell them. And, like, that's messing the whole game
supposed
up.
Supposed to be doing it for the love of the game.
Another one of mine, and it's every stadium, almost every game, is the guy. It's one thing to support your team, be loud, be boisterous, cool. But the guy who says stuff as if he's trying to pick a fight. Like, the wants to fight guy in the stands. Man, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you're going to get in a fight. You want to get in a fight.
Right.
Fights in general at games are kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But sometimes, whatever, somebody does something and it happens. But the guy who stands up and points to the crowd and, like, starts talking all this noise, like, dude, you're going to get your ass kicked.
Yep. For sure. Some other things being sent in from the 713, lifeless and boring commentators. They said they hate them. It's mm-hmm. not golf. It's football. I do, in some ways, like, I wish that more broadcasters, and I understand how this can kind of get a little unwieldy or kind of tough to handle at mm-hmm. times. Like, show me the enjoyment for the game. Yeah. Right? Like, show me that you're having fun watching this, because that's what this is supposed to be, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that should be happening in some ways. And I understand now you have to balance that with the educational aspect of trying to inform the audience and those things. But sometimes I'm just like, it's one of the reasons why I love Kevin Harlan.
Yes.
He's always enjoying doing his time. And I think that's why the Al Michaels thing was very funny, because it sounded like, oh, you're just not having fun, are you?
That's a good example right there.
You got a lot of people that are throwing things in, like the folks that will go to a game wearing a jersey for a team that neither of these is not playing on that night in that place.
A Lions jersey at the game or something.
Right. Just like, in some ways, I'm like, yo, go for it. If you want to wear a football jersey to be involved just because you want to wear a football jersey and it's the one you got. All right, cool. But it is kind of look at me a little bit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This the one I hate.
Okay.
So today is football day, pretty much the first game of the NFL season.
Football.
You got that one person like, hey, guys, it's 50 days until the NBA kicks off.
Oh, God.
That just dropped. It's just like, come on, man. God. Like, look, man, when we get there.
Are we going to talk Texans all day?
Yeah, pretty much.
Hey,
spring training is in 3 months, guys.
Yeah.
While y'all talking about football, hey, don't forget about baseball, guys. It's just like, all right, man.
You know, someone on the YouTube stream said the in-game interviews. I go back and forth on that because some of them are very entertaining. It all depends on how engaged the coach is.
Well, yeah, you know? The problem is, right, the when you say in-game, at game breaks, those ones, all right, I think maybe I'm just used to them at this point.
Mm-hmm.
The actual in-game, like, I think the NBA is starting to do some of this. I know I've seen it with the W.
Yeah.
Where, like, they have an earpiece during the game trying to talk to them while things are happening. Yeah. And I'm like, yo, they are at work right now. Exactly. Right? Like, can we let them not have to multitask? Because we're gonna rip them a new one if they mess up. And if they mess up because they're trying to talk to whoever's on the broadcast at this point, like, that's kind of messed up.
Mm-hmm. No, I totally agree on that one. And that baseball does it all the time. You know, balls hit to the shortstop and he's like talking and he's got to try to make the play.
Those have been fun, though. I have enjoyed those. I'm not going to lie. 281 sports ball guy that has to keep telling us that he's not into sports. Yeah, you could just not like sports. It's cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of people. Oh, yeah, 281. And thankfully, baseball has worked on trying to get this out the game. When the batters that in baseball that redo their batting gloves every pitch, like, I understand. Like, there's a level of rhythm or whatever, but come on, man, let's go.
At least they've tried to fix that with the pitch clock and in baseball. They're trying to get them to go a lot quicker.
I mean, there's so many coming in. Appreciate you guys getting involved here. False starts from the 936. They say the offensive line knows when to count, and there should be no reason for them to false start.
Shout out to Laramie.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I don't like the reviewing everything in football too. Like, they review every single thing. Where you should be like, man, come on, man.
Yeah.
Let's just keep the game moving.
Keep it moving, boys.
Yeah. Like, we ain't got to review this.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm still thinking about that false start. I think if on the exterior, sometimes I give them some grace. It's the one in the middle of the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, center, guard, nose tackle.
I actually give him more grace.
The ball is right there, dog.
I just give Laramie Tunsil a hard time because he's done so much. But I actually do understand a lot. He's trying to gain an advantage. He's trying to, I mean, he's got a freaking stud about to come off the edge, and he goes a little early. It's almost inexcusable, but part of me is like, I get it.
It's also a big boy.
All that weight.
Get down there in that 3-point stance and wait until I tell you to get up. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
What about the legal man downfield? That's the one that kind of irritates me a little bit.
Yeah, you got to know that. I mean, they've been since middle school. They've known about that.
Yeah, keep letting us know. What are your sports pet peeves? 713-572-4610. Well, I'll try and sprinkle those in. I'll do better about that. Coming up next, though, let's go around the NFL here on Sports Radio 610.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.